Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. And Neil and I are here today to discuss blocks to happiness and take your calls for on-air psychic / numerology readings. And we welcome you to the show. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. And we'd love it, callers and listeners, if you joined us on Blog Talk Radio as well as Facebook and on Twitter. What else? I guess that's it. We're not on the air on Friday this week, so this is our last show of the week before the Thanksgiving holiday. Blocks to happiness. Well, not being fully prepared for a holiday may be a block to happiness.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we've been running around a lot this week.
Yeah, we have. You know, I feel sorry for all those turkeys.
Yeah, we do feel sorry for the turkeys. In fact, on our Facebook, I posted an article about Farm Sanctuary. Farm Sanctuary is a group that protects animals. They rescue animals from slaughterhouses, abusive situations, so on and so forth. And there are outposts around the United States. So, you know, all over from coast to coast, there are farm sanctuaries for these animals. But here in Southern California, I believe it's, what is the town that they have that in? It's somewhere in the desert, I think. It's Vernon. I think Vernon, California, is where they have the farm sanctuary that is in California. Yeah, they had a Thanksgiving celebration for turkeys, so it was a big event at the farm sanctuary site, and they fed the turkeys.
You know, it's just not the eating of turkeys; it's the inhumane life that they have to undergo. They're kept in, like, squashed together in all these cages. They can't move. Everything's clipped off. They have artificial insemination. It's just terrible, terrible. It's just a terrible life. And they experience great pain and stress.
Right.
So, and it's because there's this massive farm for turkeys, you know, for Thanksgiving. But to bring that turkey to the table means that a living animal has suffered immensely. It isn't just like they're living on farms and running around eating insects, and then they are ultimately humanely slaughtered. These are animals.
Humanely.
That's
in quotations, obviously. I mean, humanely slaughtered.
Yeah, we're vegetarians, so we don't. Support any kind of the killing of the animals, but the fact that they lead such painful existences is just horrendous. Anyways, so our thoughts today are for every turkey that's saved.
Well, what I loved about the Farm Sanctuary event is that, you know, the turkeys were being fed as if they were, you know, royalty. So it was really cute to have a celebration for the turkeys where they're, you know, eating all this food that would normally not be allowed for them. I think it was healthy, but, you know, still a little bit more more variety in what they were served than normal. But, you know, I also want to make a statement, because even if you're a vegetarian, you know, be careful about where you source your dairy products from, because the dairy industry also is very hard on animals. And people think, well, you know, I don't eat meat, but I drink milk, and that's okay. Well, it's you've got to be very careful where you purchase your milk, your cheese, and make sure that there is a quote unquote humane treatment of the animals that are
support those dairy owners and farmers that have some consciousness about existence, and whether it's from the smallest animal, all animals, great and small, is our model. But and talking about blocks, i.e. chopping blocks, we are talking about the blocks to happiness real quickly before we get to some of our callers. Which
we're going to do shortly.
We're going to do real shortly. Just we'll
hang in there, callers. We're going to get to you. So please be patient and keep your
place in
the queue.
We'll be with you in about 5 minutes, and then we can come back to the topic. Blocks to happiness, and that might be important to some of our callers too. Blocks to happiness. Sometimes there are two layers to blocks to happiness. One is external, meaning that it's more or less karmic, or it's environmentally circumstantial. It's something that we really can't help. It's just there, whether we produced it from a past life or whether it's just there on a massive scale, or it just life happens. S-H-I-T happens. And so these are the blocks to potential happiness that we really can't own. We just have to live through and do the best we can within our system to get through whatever difficult passage we are. And then there is the layer of blockage that we create. And that's more the item and the topic at hand, are the blockages that we create within ourselves that stop us from fulfilling and achieving happiness, or achieving and fulfilling.
But can't creating those blocks be a result of karma? I mean, we create blocks maybe because we're in the position of dealing with a severe level of karma, and then by virtue of not being
they're tied together.
Happy,
but creating a block isn't necessarily a karmic situation. We create blocks out of fear, out of anger, out of more of the immediate zones that we are living in, which not often has anything to do with karma or past lives or anything like that. So because we're active human beings, our molecules are active, our thoughts are active. We live second by second. So in regard to that, yes, we can create a block that will ultimately distort or change or redirect our path to happiness into something that's less fulfilling. The miracle of this is the flip side of the coin, which means that we can create energy that unblocks or that immediately changes a block to something that's unblocked. Now, that can be done through the sheer power of positive energy. A lot of our great speakers, a lot of our great debate masters, and unfortunately, a lot of our great politicians or our
not so great politicians
have the ability to flip, to spin, to work with energy in such a way that they are so attuned to anything negative coming at them that they have an ability to turn it around into something positive. One past politician who had a kind of a gift for this was Ronald Reagan.
He had a wry
sense of humor, and he could dismantle negativity with a sheer flip of his tongue.
Yeah, he had a lot of wit, and his actor persona really helped him as a leader, I think.
Yeah, that famous passage he said that I won't allow your inexperience in age
we just watched that
in the way of,
a while ago.
Well, I mean, the gift of the tongue can actually be the manifestation of the gift of the mind. So as our minds think of positive energy beforehand, and we're constantly thinking, how do we unblock negative energy instead of how are we overwhelmed by it? How are we affected by it? How are we dismantled by it? If we look at it another way and figure that we are negative eaters, we eat it up, we chew it up and spit it out. And when we spit it out, it comes out positive. So the idea of unblocking,
rather than feeding off negative energy, eating it and expelling it from our system rather than fueling our systems from it.
Yeah, I mean, this is the very element was brought to my attention in a recent past reading about what's termed a psychic vampire. Listen, good psychics are not vampires.
Well, they won't call themselves,
associate themselves, because those are people that take energy in. for negative purposes. And the very connotation of such a thing is really detrimental to the higher light of being. So when we look at the idea of life itself and we consider, is it something we want to take in to feed our negativity? Well, surely that's going to be a more of a sure sign to block our path to happiness than something that is positive. Positive energy actually has the, it's a living energy, and it has the ability to alter things ahead of us that would otherwise block us. So the idea of, first of all, you have to define what is energy? What is it? What is the block ahead of us? Is it something environmental? Is it something that we can't control? Or is it something within our control? And if it's something within the control of the person, then your best, your first heartbeat should be positive thinking. It's a very necessary energy because it's the first thing that can produce a pathway towards fulfillment. So you got to consider that. And the blockage, the unblocking of energy, of course, is going to be the gathering of all your chakra systems, from your root chakra system all the way to your crown. All of those energies have to be spinning in a positive way in order for an otherwise immediate threat to be disposed of and corrected in such a way that it becomes positive. So I just want, we just want to get that brief message out, and maybe we can get to our callers.
I'm chewing. Bad, bad,
she's
bad.
Chewing, she's chewing on this because it's food for thought for her.
Neil made me eat my bagel during the radio show because I didn't have time before. Usually I don't eat this early, but okay. Let's bring on caller 415. I believe this is Kate.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
She's 922-69. Did I remember that?
67.
What is my problem?
Yeah,
well, the
it's funny.
Problem,
every
I added
time
it
you
up and I added.
But,
huh?
Yeah, you say 69 every time.
I do. Why do I forget that? Probably because your karmic number is 36-9. Maybe that's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, I have a lot of those numbers.
Yeah. Okay. 922-67. She's a 36-9. And what's going on?
I'm leaving, flying tomorrow on Thanksgiving morning, and then I'm driving up into the mountains. So I'm just nervous about driving in the snow, and driving back in the snow.
You're driving. I'm sorry. The last. Did you hear the last part of what she says? You're driving.
I land in Seattle, and then I drive through two mountain passes, and there's going in the snow.
Yeah.
Lots of snow predicted.
And then you have to drive back, obviously, to get back
and then
to Seattle.
Drive back to Seattle. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that would make me nervous too.
Well, the very fact that you're nervous is probably a good sign. Because in this respect,
caution.
It extends caution.
Mm-hmm.
Chris and I drove 20 miles yesterday, and I was nervous. And I'm a psychic, more or less. But I was nervous. You know, I mean, the drivers today they cut in front of you. They drive like
all
it's
right.
a racetrack.
Oh.
And
for sure, Southern California.
When you think about it, driving is so dangerous because the oncoming traffic, there's nothing really separating the two of you but just air. And the one jerk of the wheel. So whenever I drive, my eyes are looking in the rearview mirror, looking to the side, looking to the front. My foot's constantly ready to go on the brake. I'm considering the distance between. And thank God I've never been in a car accident. So
never had an accident.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I had one when I was like 18. That was it.
Right.
And so, you know, when I drive, it is completely nerve-wracking to me because I'm so attuned to paying attention that I have no time to feel relaxed. It is not, you know, I don't sit back and text or, you know, I'm
well,
I'm
you don't
constant.
Text at all.
I don't text at all, but my hands are 10-2 on the wheel. focus. And so there's a way that when I drive, I prepare and I'm constantly alert and I don't take my eyes off the
but
road.
But let me interject. If we had a driver, which would be wonderful, if we had a driver, we would love it. But you would be just as nervous with a driver.
I actually did a reading with the Diana's boyfriend.
Dodi Fayed.
Yeah. And I warned him about driving actually before their death. So I had a reading and told him about that and looked. You know, he said, well, I've got a driver. I don't have to worry about it. Let's go on to other topics. So, well, we know what happened there. But the idea of driving and being nervous to me is a good sign. You should be nervous. You're taking your life in your own hands, and you may be taking your life in somebody else's hands. So to be nervous is to be alert. Yes.
Right.
Be nervous. You know, not so nervous that you don't drive correctly, but nervous enough to pay attention. So do I think you're going to have any problems? No. But, you know, I mean, psychically, no, Kate. But,
right.
But when you look at the realities of the road, and in my history as a psychic, I've predicted car crashes galore, fatal and not so fatal. And even when people have come to see me, I've been able to pick up in their energy fields, people who have died around them in traffic. So I'm very attuned to that energy, and I've got my own theories about where traffic accidents come from.
You, it's connected to past life war karma.
A lot of it's war. Yeah, a lot of it's war and battle. It's opposing forces.
Yeah.
I know when we first did readings before we were, you know, connected as you know on the radio and as a couple. You picked up, because I've had car accidents and been in pretty serious car accident, and you picked that up.
Yeah, we were even driving once.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I told Kristen that we were going to be hit by an object before it even happened, and then it happened.
Right. Neil actually counted down. Were you driving or was I driving?
I was driving.
And then you counted down. You said, something's going to happen, and he counted down. And at that moment, what was it? It was like a piece of metal off a car, a large piece of metal just flew into our lane and we had to swerve and avoid it.
And because of my driving speed, I was able to swerve. I told one guy, now here's your situation. I told one guy who was driving up in the mountains to drive 5 miles slower than he usually does. So he did. And by doing so, a tire fell out of a pickup truck ahead of him. And was bouncing right to his window. And because he was driving a little bit slower, he swerved and missed it. That would have crashed through his windshield.
And there was someone else, remember?
I hope we're making you feel better. we're talking about eliminating fears and blocks. Well, now this is the flip side. We're going to create such fear in you that you won't be able to go anywhere.
Here's someone else. There's someone, a client that called, and she had been here in person for a reading, and you warned her because she was traveling into the mountains too.
Yeah.
And you had said, I see something happening on this trip, and I'm going to try to soften it because this could be potential fatality, I think.
Yeah.
And what happened was there was some kind of accident, or I think maybe one of their tires fell off as they were driving, but danger and any injury was averted. It was like a car full of eight people or something like that. It was a family trip. And she said, oh my gosh, you were totally right. This is what happened on this trip. And, you know, we were traveling the mountains, the tire flew off, but everything was okay. So you really helped with the energy work.
Yeah.
So
there's another story just to ease your tension. I did a reading with a woman who, when I looked at her with my third eye, I saw nothing but demons and devils and such things.
Yikes.
And I thought to myself, oh my God, there's nothing I can do for this person. Nothing. Inadvertently, she was driving with her children in through the mountains and reached down to get something, and had a head-on collision, and everybody in the car died. Now, those unfortunate incidences are only here to illustrate to you that, yes, there is energy on the road, and yes, I can see oftentimes what is good and what is bad. I don't anticipate that you're going to run into any trouble, Kate, aside from just normal traffic
slowness.
Trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
I had it yesterday for 20 miles. So, I mean, there was probably four or five times when we could have been in an accident.
Yeah, people were.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It's aggressive driving down here. Have you ever been in an accident before?
College years, yeah, younger, 20, yeah.
But then, you know.
Yeah, you have a 22 in your day. You have a 9 to 11 in your first two numbers.
Right.
I would say, I will do this. You know, drive careful. Drive defensively. Just be alert. Nothing will go wrong if you do that, because you will be able to step on the brake, change anything from happening. It's not going to be a problem. Now, as far as the plane, now you got a problem. I'm just kidding.
Who's joking?
The plane flight should be a little, you know, we have to use a little sense of humor and some of this stuff. But the plane flight, I don't see anything going wrong really on the plane flight. A lot of clients call me up and ask about planes and should I fly and blah, blah, blah. Nancy Reagan.
Nancy Reagan is funny. We mentioned Ronald Reagan earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. She consulted astrologers. She was really into astrology.
Yeah.
She shouldn't have been asking about planes. She should have been asking about cars. Cause I think that's where the assassination attempt took place, when he was getting out of a car, rushed into a car.
Right.
But unless Dean Martin is flying the airplane and they're showing airport on the screen, then I would be a little worried. But I don't think so. I just don't think so.
Thanksgiving Day is empty, actually. Today is the crazy day to fly, and tomorrow is quite calm, actually.
Well, yeah. At least you will be dealing with less crowds. There are a lot of crowds on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, Seattle, what is it? Snowy, cold, 30 degrees, what? And
not in the city, but about an hour from the city, it becomes like that.
Yeah. You'll be fine. Just, put a good energy field shield around you. We will. As far as your call goes and asking us what we think, there's no imminent danger psychically, you know, to answer your question there. It's just cautionary common sense.
Right, right.
And the stories were used to illustrate the fact that if there was a problem, it would be relayed to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I have to go through that and talk just
to make sure the vibe is okay. Kate.
Yeah. I mean, look at the flip side. It'll be beautiful. You know, snow.
Yeah.
In the mountains as well. And once I get there, it'll be very beautiful. So.
Yeah, exactly. So just be safe.
Okay, thank you.
Have a happy holiday. All right, thanks.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Okay, 613, hello.
Hi.
Hi. Is this Sherry?
Yes, it is.
32765. Sherry, what's going on?
I was just wondering if you could provide some insight around a family property that we just found recently burned.
Can you give us, do you want any background? 336. And so burned, it's a family property. Is this something you own, or is it something a family member owns?
It's basically a property that was left in care, to my husband and his brother. But it's been family for. It's a family hunt camp kind of thing, and
A family hunt camp. What is that like?
Where you go hunt, like. Deer, moose, kind of thing.
So it burned
like a
down.
Log building.
It's a log structure, like a cabin, and it burnt down.
Yes.
And was there insurance on the property?
No, they're not really insurable because of location.
Oh, and was the property valued at anywhere from $60,000 to $110,000, anywhere in that zone?
Probably to rebuild, yeah.
Probably to rebuild. And is it your intention to rebuild?
Yes.
So the monies to rebuild is just going to have to come out of pocket? There's no insurance, nothing to help you out?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, okay, so we're kind of moving along here, and I'm getting some facts, but maybe they're also validations from a psychic vantage point. And so immediately, what is your question? Because the property is burnt down, and that's now a given. It's not salvageable, so you have to rebuild. It's going to cost anywhere from $60,000 to $110,000. And so what is your question, like sabotage or, you know, foul play or
Yes, like can you see if it was if a fire was set intentionally?
Do you want my honest opinion?
Yes, I do.
I guess you don't want my dishonest opinion. I think it was set unintentionally. Now, okay, so that's just the first step. Because was the fire chief out there at all?
There has been someone, yes, do an inspection.
And did they? When was the last time the cabin was used?
It was at the end of October.
And was the fireplace used or anything that could have started the fire?
Well, there's wood stoves that were used, but the reports of smoke in the area were done on November 4th, so it was 6 days after anybody was in there.
Yeah.
And
so
everything was out.
Everything was out, and if something was left unattended, it would seem a little bit odd that it would take 6 days for a fire to occur unless there was some sort of electrical. Was the cabin, involved too? Does it have lights and electricity, or is it a really remote cabin without those assets?
It's remote, but like we have a solar system, and that was all shut down. There was no power.
Mm-hmm. So, I just want to interject something. Usually when there's inspectors out there, they can tell how the fire originated. Have they given you any information on how the fire started?
No,
isn't
they're still working on that.
I'm sorry?
They're still working on that part?
Oh.
Yeah. Here's where I'm coming from. Okay, so I'm not going to put this in pen. I'm going to put this in pencil. I feel foul play. Now, foul play could be deliberately foul play or accidental foul play, meaning that someone was deliberately careless, or short of that, someone was deliberately not being careless, but was deliberately being criminal activity. I'm getting more criminal activity. Is there any competitive factor out there that you know of in the neighboring area that would have any kind of issues with that cabin or the people that go there?
There's one person that we feel may have been behind it but didn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Why?
A lawsuit that's happening.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So the lawsuit, I know you can't give details, but let's talk objectively. Does the lawsuit have to do with land? Does it have to do with boundaries?
No, it only has to do with the care of an elder person in the family.
Care with an elder person in the family. So logically, would that lawsuit provoke a fire in a cabin, that particular lawsuit?
Well, the person that it's with could possibly have been behind it, but they're too old to have gone in and done it themselves.
So they would have had to hire somebody or something like that.
So the intention would have been to hurt or harm or financially get back at you because of sheer frustration?
It could be, or it could be just that, I guess the evilness that this person is, has in their...
Well, you know, I can tell you this, Sherry. On a psychic intuitive level, I'm not seeing it as being a God-created event. You know, lightning, blah, blah, blah. I don't see it as that. I don't see it as particularly being accidental by that last party that was there in October. But if it is something involved there, it would have been accidental, but still human produced. So I see it more as being human produced on some level than just a God, an act of nature or God, or something with the electricity went wrong or something like that.
Real quick.
You said solar.
Does the property have a number? I mean, we don't want the full address, but is there a number address?
No.
There's not. I thought it might not be, but okay.
Well, I'm not going to mention names on the radio, so I'm not going to mention even first names, but I feel that there's some kind of human foul play, like I said, on any level from being inadvertently accidental but still human caused to downright caustic, to downright nasty. I would tend to think it was nasty, something that's in an area we can get away with a lot, remote.
Right.
But is there any other neighboring area where there are hunting cabins or competition or anything like that around?
Quite a ways away.
So it wouldn't obstruct, there's no issue of boundary lines there?
No, not really.
Because I would imagine that a hunting party staying at a cabin would hunt within a 12-mile radius. I'm not a hunter myself, neither is Kristen, but I'm just guessing. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, not even that. Like, you're fairly close around your camp, maybe 2 kilometers or so.
Oh.
Which,
so
maybe 2 miles.
2 miles. So how far away is that next hunting cabin?
Probably 4 or 5 miles to the next, like it's a paid lodge kind of thing.
Okay, so real
like
quickly.
Like where people pay.
Sherry, real quickly, if you were to be in that cabin and go 12 miles from that cabin in any given direction, can you explain where we might, what we might be hitting in the locale over there?
That's quite far. 12 miles. You would be like from there. You'd be hitting highways on both sides.
Yeah. Well, you know, to me, someone who maybe someone who instigated this fire ended up somewhere. I'm tracking that their vehicle was on that highway afterwards. So whoever it was, it could have been a paid job. You know, this is all speculation, but whoever did it would have ended up at some point probably taking off and being on that highway sometime thereafter. And I don't know if the fire was first detected at night, or is there any time when the location of the fire occurred?
Yeah, early evening in around 6 o'clock.
So night, exactly.
Yeah, very suspicious, Sherry. So I think my opinion, human activity, foul play, and the person who did it ultimately ended up on that highway.
Okay.
Okay, Sherry. Well, hopefully that helps. What were you going to say something?
Do you have a first initial?
I don't want to do that on the radio.
No.
You'd have to call for further, a private call.
Okay, then. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Bye.
Yeah, we have to, you know, I mean, especially when it comes to legal matters, we can't be naming people,
not.
Giving initials, nothing. I mean, no. That's just not, you know, we're not going to get ourselves in that situation. Okay, one more caller. Who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Sylvie from Toronto.
Oh, hi, Sylvie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, thanks. And I remember your karmic and master number is 347, but I don't remember your birth date.
Okay, November 6, 1979.
1979. You just had a birthday. Happy birthday.
I did. Thank you.
You're welcome. And wait, 37 or 36?
37.
37. Yeah. 37 years old. Huh?
Yeah, her master number is 314.
She's 347. I thought.
11/6/1976?
79.
Oh, 79?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
she's 79. Yeah, she's 37 years old. She just turned 37. And what's going on, Sylvie?
Oh, well, I guess I just wanted to, I'm in the pursuit of, I guess, love. And I don't know if there's anything that you can sort of tell me a little bit more about in that department.
The love department. Is there someone in particular that you're, well, do you have a birth date for that individual?
I do. Yep. September 21st, 1978. Oh.
Did you say November?
No, sorry. I'll repeat. September 21st.
September 21st.
Yes. 1978.
Got it. Mm-hmm. All right. 1911. Well, I mean, you guys are definitely connected.
Their master number is your age right now.
9, 10, 11, 12. He's a 37, 10, 1. I hadn't even gotten there yet. And, you know, his month and first day becomes her month 11. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, too, is she's a 34, 7, so, and she's 37, so that 3 and 7 are kind of lighting up for her right now in her karmic and master number. And their years are interchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
7 to 8, 7 to 9. If you do an X between your birth date, Sylvie, your 7 to his 8 is 78, his year, and his 7 to your 9 is 79, your year. So there's definitely some connective tissue going on. Go ahead, Neil. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's fine. Here's what's going on with him, Sylvia.
Sylvie.
Oh, S-I-L-V-I-E. Oh, okay.
Right.
Sylvie, here's what's going on, I think, with this guy. They're in the relationship. Let's first of all say that the relationship has an established basis to it. Now, I'm talking in psychic terminology, not just everyday life terminology. There is a foundation. There's a basis to this relationship, meaning that there is a psychic reason, a soul reason, S-O-U-L, for you to connect with this person. The person, though, carries in his life some issues, problems.
Oh, yeah.
That could result in, well, it either manifested as a broken family growing up or a divorce. Now, has any of those things taken place to your knowledge?
Yes.
Which one of the two?
He has a divorce.
Divorce. So now we're on the journey here that when I'm working through this, that we've got a divorce from him, which I was picking up on. So that's true. That divorce was produced by a past life which he had to join with this person, and karmically they had to split up. So that was already written that would happen. I do see a child or a custody problem. Now, where is that coming from?
He is an adoptive father. And as far as I know, it's a full adoption, but there could be some issues there. I don't know.
Yeah, but there is a child. He's an adoptive father. So there is a child involved in the marriage.
Yes.
And she has a child, too.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Yeah, I have a child as well. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm not concerned about your child.
No, I'm just,
right now I'm on the area of the karma of where this guy is coming from. This has nothing to do with you yet.
Oh, okay.
This is all his stuff, what he brought into the world from a different past life that really, you're affected by it, but that past life is really a different past life than the one he had with you. There is a basis of one he has with you, but the past life energy he had with this woman and that situation is a whole separate story. They may be connected in some regard, but not really, not intentionally.
Okay.
So what that does now is it causes a distraction. And that distraction, he can still be focused on you and all that, but the distraction of this journey that he had with this woman gets into his psyche. And what it does is it will produce a certain energy field within this man to where you as a woman may feel intuitively speaking, I wonder where he's always at in his head. I don't know every part of this guy. Is that true?
Yes, it's true. It's all very new, but it's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the parts of him that, you know, obviously when you meet somebody, you're not going to know everything about him. And the human condition, of course, we meet people and we have mysteries around them and we don't always know where they're at. Even when we live with somebody a long time, we get that. But this, what you're experiencing is a karmic situation that he's in. And it involves something more than just common human experience. His part of his brain is preoccupied, whether he knows it or not, and a lot of it he wouldn't even know. It's preoccupied with this past life dilemma, which probably comes from a world past life wise, a broken family, because even he married this woman, divorced her, and then we have the idea of adopted father. So the adoption energy is something that came from a past life. So
wow.
It becomes a little bit complicated as we move forward. And so what you're getting is not just this guy between you and him. That would be great. What you're getting is the baggage that he's coming into the world with. Now, that baggage doesn't necessarily have to destroy your relationship with him. But it is something that he's going to have to work through to so that the relationship he has with you is clean. Otherwise, the elements of that past life are going to be like invaders in the communication levels between the two of you and ultimately could hurt the relationship.
Of course. Yeah, I can see that.
So that's where we stand. I mean, there's some nice, you know, you're meeting him at appropriate time. You're 37 and his master numbers, his karmic number is 37. Your months add up to your 9 and 1 add up to an 11, which is your month.
Right.
6, 2 and 1 add up to 9, which is in your year. Your years are interchangeable, the numbers. And of course, your master numbers together become an 8, which is his last number. There's some good
7,
things
8.
Going on.
And
there.
Her month and day become, his last number, 11, 6.
Yeah.
Become an 8.
Is he going through any job confusion? Was he demoted or otherwise promoted recently?
Yes. That's a big, big story in his life for sure. I don't know how much I can say over the air, but he was released from I'm losing my voice. He was released from a high level position that he was in for about 12 years. And it was a demotion as well.
Oh.
Yeah, you see. So, so here we are, I'm getting this stuff, you're validating it, and if you're logical, you're going to be going, okay, he's getting this stuff, he's got some psychic handle on this, so he must be right about this stuff. So where does that leave us? Sort of in a mystery, a little bit of a mystery that's still unraveling, because the energy between the two of you is going to have to be nurtured, it's going to have to be protected. Is going to have to be concentrated on commitment.
So it's possible. There's possible future in some regard, but with contingencies.
Yeah,
they have to be creative and put forth an effort to make the relationship work. It's not going to just fall right into place.
Absolutely. So you can benefit from good psychic interaction and discussion and therapy, whatever, maybe as a team, maybe as a solo sense of the energy to understand what he's going through. But if you really love, you feel like you want to love this guy and you want to have some hope in the relationship, that's possible.
Okay. So it's a positive energy overall. That's all I wanted to know.
Yes. Overall, if it works, it's positive. We're not talking about a deadly negative energy that's confronting you. The only thing that could go wrong in the relationship would be that he is overwhelmed by his own karma, and then you could get hurt.
Right, and they've got those 11s going on, which is always a little bit of darkness. So he has to be a full partner in the relationship too, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're shifting it to this positive conclusion, and I'm stopping you from going all the way there. It's not totally positive, but it's got a potential for being so on a really realistic level, it does.
Okay. I understand. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sylvie. Okay. One last caller, and then we're going to end the show because we've got 10 minutes. So this will be probably a 5-minute reading. 216. Hello.
Yes, hi. My name is Patricia. Hey. Thank you for taking my call. And how are you all?
Fine, thank you, Patricia. How are you?
Good. I'm a first-time listener.
Yes, I know.
And
how
caller.
Did you find us?
Well, I just logged on to Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
And I just wanted to find out what show was on live.
that helps. Here we are.
Yes.
Here we are.
Yes. Live with Regis Philbin.
Okay. All right.
Don't call me Kathy Lee, please, or Kelly Ripa.
No. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
I've got some concerns, but particularly this number, it's probably an address, has come to me in my wake hours, meaning it appears in my mind's eye.
Okay.
1292 Edgewater. And I don't know if it's Edgewater Place or Boulevard. Now, earlier this month, I took the bus over there, and because I'm presently looking to move into a new home for myself with the current situation that it's pretty negative and so on and so forth. But anyway, this came to me, and it's come back to me the past couple of days.
So this is something, let me just clarify quickly, Patricia. This address that has been coming into your mind's eye is an actual address in your area.
I don't know.
You don't know. Where are you calling
from,
by the way?
I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, okay. And I was thinking that you were in
and
the Midwest.
This is a library phone I'm using, so... Anyway.
I see. Yeah, I didn't look at the, I don't know, I was thinking Illinois, but that's like, isn't Illinois and Ohio kind of close? What's your birth date?
7/16/58. But yeah, this combination of numbers keeps appearing. And as I said, I'm looking for new jobs. A third shift and a seasonal job so I can start earning money so that I can very quickly find my new home and move into it.
Okay. Well.
Okay. Well, first of all, the element of Edgewater, the address 1292 adds up to a 14. Patricia,
okay.
And your
okay.
first three numbers and your birth date add up to 14. So
okay.
You're looking, and then Edgewater adds up to a 7 in numerical translation from letters, and you're born on the 7th month. So you're looking, you're actually looking in your mind, and you mentioned mind's eye, and it's interesting because when you were first talked on this show right now in the first 30 seconds of your speech, I was picking up books around you, and you said you were using a library phone.
Interesting.
Are you a librarian? Do you work at a library?
No, the Wi-Fi's here, the free Wi-Fi.
He uses Wi-Fi at the library.
Well, okay, that's fine. I was seeing books around you, but you're literary anyways. You're articulate, I sense.
So, you know,
yes, I enjoy to read.
Interject something. There's an Edgewater district in Cleveland. I just decided to search the address online while we're doing the show. And are you aware of that? There's an Edgewater district. I don't see Edgewater in Cleveland. I mean, maybe in a neighboring town. It's an address, but there is an Edgewater area.
Okay.
What you got, Patricia, is your mind's eye is going to a location that is a past life location. In other words, your brain and your mind is going to something that was connected to you in a past life.
Hmm.
So this location itself is something that your soul has carried from a previous life into this life, and you as Patricia are receiving the recording. Now, it's almost like, you know, you're a reader, so it's almost like you're reading a series of books. And as you read book three, you're reminded about what happened in book one.
All right.
You're going back to a previous lifetime and connecting to an address and a location, which might have not been that location, but whatever the energy happened is on that location now. It could be the very site itself, but it might even be in Edgewater. Is anybody in your family, for instance, is anybody in your family an avid swimmer? Lifeguard, swimming, swimming?
None that I know of. They're pretty much dead. Father, mother, and aunt, uncle are dead. I have no siblings.
Yeah. Was anybody lived near water?
Oh, sheesh. Not to my knowledge. And I'm not, like I said, I'm my only sibling. I have cousins, but I don't have anything to do with them.
Have you ever had any incidences with water, any dreams, any scares?
Well, I love the water, but many years ago as a child, I must have went to a public pool or something. I almost drowned. Now we're talking about.
That would be it.
Yeah. Okay. So you know what happened? Maybe you're not into this, but Chris and I are. You in a past life, you drowned.
We're really into drowning. We love it. God, no, we try every day.
Yeah.
Okay.
That came out wrong, I think.
Well,
what Neil said.
We're
into past lives. I think you're going to say
you drowned in a past life. So so what happened in this lifetime was when you got to that episode when you probably drowned as a child in a past life. Because it's this lifetime, you got past that episode. It was just a repeat of an experience. But now you're in this zone. So now I'm determining that I'm on the right path to this and that you are on a journey to find this location, which I think is a quest for you, which probably is going to make you very happy and content in your following years, which will also include a job. Now, we don't have a lot of time, but have you ever, or has anybody in your family, to your knowledge, ever worked in any government or city agency?
No, not to my knowledge.
Okay. Have you ever thought about working in regard to the city government, the regional government, the state government? Have you ever thought of that yourself?
No, I had not.
And what kind of job are you looking for?
Well, the first one's seasonal, and another one's on a third shift where you'll free me up to, and that would be, you know, permanent, meaning,
what,
you know, three or four.
It?
Well, I don't know yet. I'm applying to like hotels, that sort of thing that would accommodate a third shift indoors, you know, creative, hopefully, but. You know,
so like working at a desk, like at a hotel, like reception.
Yes, yes, right.
As opposed to maid work or.
Right. I'm just gearing towards that. You know, checking in the guests.
Okay, so here's what I want you to do, and then we got to wrap up for today's show because we're on a time limit here. there's a hotel in the area.
Okay.
Is Edgewater near? Where's Edgewater located?
There's an Edgewater district in Cleveland.
Okay.
Right.
So
it's in the city of Lakewood.
You got to go to that Edgewater area and look for a high-rise hotel, a larger hotel.
Okay.
For reception. And because at this hotel, there are government people who come there to stay. So that's what the government connection is. It's a government official that comes there. And so you should do some research on the internet since you're at the library.
Okay.
And just look at the hotels in the area, in that area that are higher than lower, have many floors to them, and where maybe government people frequent the location itself or have some kind of government history.
Okay, and Patricia, you can always call the show again. You can call for a private reading, 562-596-7818, or you may join us on Facebook. That link is under our Blog Talk Radio profile, but we do have to wrap up today because we're getting
all right.
60-second warning, but hopefully that's been helpful to you. Please keep in touch.
Yes, it has. Thank you. Happy holidays. Be well.
Happy holidays to you, too. Okay, we are back on the air on Wednesday next week, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, callers. Have a happy holiday.